set me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield we call life these days. And you've heard me talk about pornography and sex addiction and adultery and the things that many in God's church are struggling with these days. And I've been blessed to be able to go to the United Kingdom for the last 7 years or so and participate in trade shows and speak in churches there. And surveys show that the UK is around the second largest consumer of porn in the world, second only to the US, who is number one. And so today I have a guest calling in from the UK, from Aylesbury, which is north of London, maybe 45 minutes. His name is Joshua Lane, and he is a youth pastor in Aylesbury in the UK. He was addicted to porn for 10 years, but now works for the Naked Truth Project, an anti-porn charity in the UK who runs recovery groups, and they deliver educational workshops in schools. Josh, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thank you for having me.
So let's kick this off and by inviting you to share your story, what you went through.
Sure. Just go for it, shall I?
Yep, go for it.
Sure. So, I first was exposed to porn when I was around 12 or 13 years old, and it was through a friend from school simply came up to me one day and just asked me if I had heard of porn or knew what it was. And I grew up in like a Christian home, parents are Christians, and had never heard of porn or heard anyone talk about it or found any or seen anything before. So I didn't, but my curiosity was piqued, and so of course I went home and just Googled it, because, you know, if this is something that people at school are, you know, whatever it was, you know, I didn't know what it was, but if people at school were using it or whatever, I wanted to at least know what it was. And you know the fear of missing out, like not wanting to not be in the know about something. And within seconds I was just immediately on hardcore porn websites, looking at videos, and just clicked on something and was just watching, you know, these people having sex. And, you know, to my 12, 13 year old brain, I was blown away and shocked. You know, I had a really like visceral reaction. Like I was genuinely shocked and repulsed. And it took me, you know, a few minutes to really sort of, I guess, kind of realize what I was seeing. And I really just didn't like it. You know, that initial first exposure, I was really uncomfortable. And so I, you know, turned it off and went away. But there was just something about it that it, you know, there was just something about it that, you know, I wanted to, it made me feel something that I wanted to experience again. And, you know, I didn't want to necessarily go and see the videos, but it meant I kind of went and accessed maybe less hardcore versions of porn, you know, for a period of time, you know, maybe like reading stories or just looking at pictures that maybe weren't so explicit. But over time, that just wasn't enough. A lot of people I know experience a similar thing, and it's you know, there's just a need for more, whatever that is, whether it's, you know, kind of you know, looking at or reading or whatever it is for longer and longer, and or going to more hardcore versions of the pornography. And so what that meant was, kind of, I guess by age 14, I started masturbating with white when using porn as well, and I would be going to it like 2 or 3 times a day, which for some people that might not sound like very much, but each time I would be, you know, watching these porn videos by age 14 for like an hour or two at a time, like twice a day. And so, you know, you add that up, and that's a huge chunk of my day that I was spending watching these porn videos, you know, hardcore porn videos. And I didn't really notice at first the effect that it was having on me, but over time it started to really affect me, and I started to realize that I had a problem, and I couldn't really articulate at the time how porn was having this impact on me, but it's kind of led to me just feeling sort of numb at first to everything else, like normal things in life that were, you know, previously enjoyable or fun, just didn't have the same effect on me. It kind of became like porn was the only thing that made me really feel anything. And as I said, I grew up in a Christian family, and so this felt like something that I absolutely couldn't, you know, talk about or go to someone and say, look, you know, this is what I'm doing. So it led to kind of just a deep shame and secrecy and fear more than anything else. I was driven by fear and absolutely terrified that someone would, I guess, catch me or find out or, wherever it was. And that it would be a really terrible reaction at that point if someone found out.
Did you have other brothers and sisters in the house, or?
I have 3 younger sisters, and so they were all at home at the time. Mm. But I didn't tell anyone about it, and I was terrified of anyone in the family, siblings or all my parents finding out. But I guess I was terrified of anyone finding out, but funnily enough, it was at, a year or two later, like in the middle of my teens, that, you know, my parents clearly could see that there was a deep change in me, that, you know, I was suddenly like very, very different, like really withdrawn, you know, kind of, I guess, out of the fear of people finding out, I became really withdrawn from everyone and held people at an arm's length, you know, friends too as well, but I guess my parents were the first to really notice it and ask me about it. And I was, you know, deeply ashamed, but it was, I knew that porn was the cause of the, I guess the shame and the fear and the just sort of, you know, there was a bit of depression in there as well, just, you know, just a deep numbness and not feeling anything, and just it made me feel rubbish for a lot of the time. And so there was a day when my mum did just like sit me down and was like, Josh, what is going on? We can tell that, you know, something is really you know, making your life difficult. So please talk to us, because we want to help. And so I couldn't actually like tell her. I like kind of wrote it down just, you know, on the scrap of paper, and then left it with her and went upstairs. And a few minutes later, my dad came up. She like, you know, obviously told my dad to come upstairs. And he didn't actually say anything at first. He just gave me a hug.
That's good.
And, you know, then told me that he loved me, and that, you know, this didn't change that, and that he wanted to help me if that's why, you know, if I wanted it, and I did. And so, you know, there was no shame or judgment, or I guess the reaction that I had been fearing just wasn't there, which, you know, was fantastic. You know, they handled that incredibly well. And so they wanted to help me, but I think there was, I really kind of just didn't feel like it was possible. I didn't like the effects porn was having on my life, but I couldn't really imagine life without it. Like, you know, how I started to kind of depend on it to just handle, I guess, the stresses of life as a teenager. And so I think there was a sense of hopelessness, not really able to comprehend how it would be possible to do life without porn. And so I think they were, you know, my parents did the sort of done things that you'd expect of, like, maybe, you know, putting like internet blockers on, and maybe I would like leave my phone with them overnight, things like that. But the problem was I was, you know, addicted to porn. And so I would go to whatever length necessary to access it at the time. And so it led to, you know, me like sneaking around in the night, you know, either to find my phone or what alarmed me later on was that I would actually take other people's phones in the house to look at porn on. And I think when I started doing things like that, that's when some of the realization of how much of a problem I had started to dawn on me more. And I guess it also started to affect my sort of sexual taste. That's what started to help me realize, I guess, in a sense that it was a genuine issue, not just the fact that there was, you know, I was addicted to this thing that wasn't really great, but it started to affect my sexual tastes. Like I would start to watch porn that I hadn't been watching before, and I would start to I found myself not being turned on by just normal sex. There had to be some sort of taboo nature to it for me to find it arousing, and that started to alarm me.
So are you getting into darker places?
I was getting into darker places, and it started to make me, see people that I shouldn't be, you know, viewing in a sexual way. And yeah, that was concerning, to me. I never like acted on anything, but it was just something that really concerned me when I realized that was what porn had led me to doing.
And how old were you at this point?
This was kind of towards my later teens, I suppose, around like 17, 18
okay.
years old. And you know, sometimes I would, you know, talk to my dad about it, you know, how it was like still an issue. And he might like, you know, recommend me like a book to read, give me a book to read, or like, you know, we'd just have a good chat. He'd pray for me or we'd, one time we did watch like a sort of video series that helped. But the problem was, you know, at the time I didn't really want to make all the, I guess, the life changes necessary to make it realistic to just cut porn out of my life. Like the ways I was using it to handle stress and emotions. It meant I couldn't see it as a feasible option, to just cut porn out of my life at that time. And from that point, it kind of went up and down. Like I guess that was the sort of the one of the lower points. I think that, I then kind of got my first serious girlfriend, and I think there was just a motivation there, I think, because of that relationship, to not go to porn in the way that I had been going to it. And so I was going to porn much less frequently. But I think the deeper issues in me were not addressed. You know, I still had a problem with sexualizing everyone. I still had a problem where I had become quite closed off and reserved and withheld myself from people. And so, well, I mean, for one, I wasn't a great person to be in a relationship with. So I do feel bad for you know, looking back on her trying to be my girlfriend when I was really hard to get to know and to be in a relationship with. And I think I had been meeting the need of intimacy in my life through porn. And so I think that made me really struggle to have that need met in real life through real people. So that was difficult.
So it sounds like your heart was walled off.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I didn't like people getting in close. I think there was just a fear of you know what people would think if I was, you know, honest about anything. But you know, there was obviously the particular fear of going to porn, even if though it was just on occasion at that point, there was a real fear and holding people away.
So did your girlfriend ever find out, or did you ever tell her, or how did that play out?
I did tell her, but I kind of always would underplay it and not like, I'd never outright lie and say like, you know, yeah, I've you know, quit. I've like not looked at porn in years or anything like that. But I would just make out like it wasn't the problem that it was. I guess there's a way of, you know, not having to talk about it further, not knowing how to navigate those uncomfortable conversations. So there was definitely some deceitfulness, whenever it would come up. I was never completely honest and truthful about how much of a problem it was to me.
And then where did the relationship go from there?
The relationship was, there were other things as well as my porn problem that made the relationship unhealthy. It was definitely an issue, and it contributed to it being an unhealthy relationship. And so we went through a few years of being, you know, going out, not going out. And eventually we kind of just both had enough and it ended. This was while I was at university. And it ended when I moved back home, like after we graduated. Mm. She never like broke up with me because of the porn, but it was always something that, you know, severely bothered her and made her feel insecure. And I hated that, but it was just such a deep addiction for me that it was something that, you know, no matter how long, you know, whether I, you know, I managed to go for a few months, I would always end up going back to porn eventually. Hmm. And yeah, I kind of had myself I guess convinced that I was under control, because it wasn't as frequent as it had been when I was, in the middle of my teenage years, you know, every single day, several times for hours at a time. And so I had myself convinced, in my early 20s that I had things under control, because it wasn't every day. It was more occasional, and therefore it wasn't such an issue. Mm.
What did the breakthrough point look like for you?
The breakthrough point was, it kind of just, this carried on for a while. I'd moved back to home. I got a job as a youth pastor, which is what I'm still doing now. And I got married as well. And this time, I guess similarly to what happened before, when I first started going out with my first girlfriend, was at the start there was a lot of motivation to really make an effort to do away with porn and to quit and to not go there, and so there was probably something similar happening this time. Maybe I had a bit more willpower or motivation. I was able to kind of deal with it for longer, like go for longer without going to porn. And but I think what the real turning point was, I was kind of 6 months into marriage, when I hadn't looked at porn since we'd gotten married, but my wife went away on holiday for a few weeks, and during that time I kind of had a porn binge over a number of days while she was away. And I had to tell her, because, she had to be able to trust me. We couldn't have a marriage without trust. But I think that was the most, that was the most difficult, experience of ever telling someone. Mm. And it was just incredibly painful to admit that. And it was at that point that I really, really decided to quit and to do whatever it actually took to quit, not just kind of reading a book or watching some video series and hoping that would have some sort of impact, but actually making some real changes in my life. Mm-hmm. And so I was already working for Naked Truth at this point, who you mentioned at the start, they're an anti-pornography charity here in the UK. And I'd kind of, joined them, at a time when I kind of had thought things were more under control than they were. And I told my boss, and I went into to kind of one of their recovery groups for a few months. They run recovery groups for people who feel they have a problem with pornography. And they also do educational stuff, which is what I've been somewhat involved with. Mm. It was an incredibly helpful recovery group. You're kind of in a group with other people in the same situation, have a problem with porn or sex or something in that area, wanting to change, wanting to actually have that gone.
Josh, we're about the end here, so I'd like you to give us real quick, 20 seconds, one key that people can take away with them. 20 seconds.
I think something I did learn is that people are incredibly graceful. It's such a common problem. It feels like you're so alone and there's no hope. that anytime I confess to a close friend or someone that I trusted, they had so much grace for me. Mm. It was incredibly helpful and healing every time I confessed it. I kind of now tell my story as much as I can because it goes on being helpful and healing, admitting my struggles.
All right, we're at the end now. Thank you for Josh. Thank you, Josh, and thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.